Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2038, with the release date of Friday, November 18, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The DXing world loses a noted centenarian. A ham club in Michigan comes up with a unique and generous way to welcome newly ticketed amateurs. And in our top story from New Zealand, hams' attempts to assist after a massive earthquake are being challenged by the damage left behind. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2038 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week with the aftermath of the earthquake in New Zealand that took lives, stranded thousands, destroyed roads and buildings, and left hams frustrated as to how they could help. We have more details from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Thousands of people have been left stranded on a devastated landscape in New Zealand, which was shattered by a 7.8 magnitude earthquake on Monday the 14th of November. With a state of emergency declared in the Canterbury region, hardest hit by the quake, emergency response has included an international array of naval vessels. Defence Minister Gerry Brownlee told the New Zealand Herald that offers of help were accepted from the United States, Australia, Canada, Japan and Singapore. The fleet of rescue ships includes the first United States warship to visit New Zealand in 33 years. While there was no formal activation of Amateur Radio Emergency Communications, AREC, hams in the public service arm of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters remained vigilant in monitoring traffic on the bands as officials continued to assess the massive damage to roads and buildings. The quake, which caused extensive damage in Kaikoura and Culverton, killed at least two persons. One local ham, Ken Duffy, ZL4KD, told Amateur Radio Newsline in an email that he activated the Christchurch repeater to listen for emergency and damage reports shortly after the first quake struck. He remained on the air through the series of aftershocks that occurred. Ken wrote that the affected area included a large rural region with few active hams, but the damage was significant. Ken said AREC could not gain access to many of the affected areas because of the severity of the road damage. As Amateur Radio Newsline went to production, hams continued to monitor frequencies while they awaited word from government agencies on their offer to step in during the rescue effort. Reporting for the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
For disabled radio operators, there's plenty of software to help get them on the air successfully. Still, there's no better encouragement than that of a fellow ham. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB, with news of just such an effort.
December 3 marks the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and the International Program for Handicapped Radio Amateurs, the IPHA, wants its member organisations to make their CUSOs count. The event's coordinator, RIRI, Oscar Delta 5 Romeo India, said he'd like to see some partnership with disabled operators. He reports already the Darbyan District Amateur Radio Society in the UK will be operating as Golf 2 Delta Juliet, with disabled persons participating at that station. In Egypt, the Egyptian Radio Amateur Society, ERASD, will likewise be operating a station, Sugar Uniform Zero, Echo Romeo Alpha. If there are other organisations around the globe planning similar operations, please let the IPHA know about it by contacting RIRI on email, ririazrak@gmail.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
What beats the thrill of getting your ham radio license? Getting your first radio free. Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5 ASH, has those details.
The Livingston County Amateur Radio Club in Michigan has come up with a unique way to generate interest in ham radio.
We're offering residents of the county that are 21 years or younger that get their amateur radio license. If they pass the test, we're giving them a dual-band handheld radio. And if you're over 21 and you're in the county, if you pay for 2 years memberships to the club, we'll also give you a radio if you pass your test or an upgrade.
That's Les Butler, W8MSP, Technical Director for the Livingston County Amateur Radio Club, or LARK. I asked Les, who came up with the idea?
The board members of the club. We were thinking of ideas to get more younger people involved and more people in general. I mean, our membership's pretty good, and we've got pretty good participation in our meetings. And we have a few young people, but we'd like to see a few more.
Has there been a noticeable difference since this program started earlier in the summer?
Not yet. I think it's going to now because it's getting a lot more publicity. We did a local radio station interview here in the county. We generally have 2 to 5 people show up for our test sessions every month. We test the second Tuesday of every month. Walk-ins are welcome. You don't need to make an appointment. And many months we have 5, 6, or 7 people, and generally it's 2 to 5 people.
So if you know someone in Livingston County, Michigan, who is interested in getting or upgrading their license and could use a free dual-band handheld transceiver, go to W8LRK.com to learn more about the club's testing program. But hurry, this is a limited-time offer that expires at the end of 2016. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Topeka, Kansas.
The Veterans Day and Remembrance Day experiences help people around the world remember the brave soldiers who made the ultimate sacrifice for their countries. One small group of amateurs in Ontario, Canada, made the most of that commemoration with a special event station at a special venue. Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW, has those details.
In Canada, the John McCrae House, birthplace of the noted World War I soldier, is maintained as a treasured reminder not just of its former inhabitant, but of the war that spurred him to write the poem In Flanders Fields. The verse was first published in 1915, immortalizing the poppy as a symbol of Remembrance Day and serving as the author's tribute following a friend's death from injuries sustained in battle. Members of the Guelph Amateur Radio Club in Ontario were part of that remembrance on Thursday, November 10, when their rig sent and received messages about fallen members of those in military service and about John McCrae himself, whose stirring verse is still a part of so many formal occasions in these modern times. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In Europe, amateurs have enjoyed activating all kinds of mills, now unused for the original purposes in the textile and grain industries. Well, it looks like Australia's about to get into the act, too. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us more.
Anderson's Mill, a 19th-century building in central Victoria, has just earned the distinction of being the first mill in Australia to join a global radio event in May, which until now featured only mills in Europe. The old Australian mill in Smeaton, which once processed flour and oats, will be processing global radio contacts instead in the annual event known as Mills on the Air. The radio activity is run by the Denby Dale Amateur Radio Society in the UK, in cooperation with the Society for the Protection of Ancient Buildings. Operators from the Central Goldfields Amateur Radio Group, VK3 Bravo India, plan to be on HF, VHF, IRLP and Echolink from the mill on May 13 to 15. The Radio Club's president, Peter Rafferty, VK3 Charlie Charlie, has been working with local residents in the effort to get Anderson's Mill included. Now that the mill has been recognised in time for next year's event, the club is hoping the success will inspire others to find more mills in Australia to join them in the big event. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WA7ABU repeater serving Willamette Valley, Oregon. D DXers around the world lost a noted fellow DXer who was not just a longtime DXer, but one of the world's most longtime hams. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, with the story of this silent key.
Yvan Pastre, F3AT, was considered one of the world's oldest radio amateurs, and at 102, that itself was quite an accomplishment. His achievements as a top DXer, however, were considered even more unparalleled by those who knew and respected him. The French radio amateur has become a silent key. Yvan's name can be found at the top of the DXCC honour roll, with a total of 388 entries confirmed. He also held 5-band DXCC honours. Licensed as F3AU in 1931, he was most active and proficient in CW throughout his long life, and he was celebrated for his varied operations. He took the call sign F3AT some years after first getting his license, but was also known to use variations of it for his activations in French Equatorial Africa, French Cameroon, and French Sudan. Listed on the roster of the A1 Operators Club and the First Class CW Operators Club, Yvan was memorialized on the 12th of November. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The amateur radio world also lost a noted leader active in the ARRL. Todd Olson, K0TO, is being remembered as an accomplished contester, mentor, and a positive influence by many in and out of the headquarters of the ARRL. Todd became a silent key November 12th at age 83, ending his long battle with cancer. His work as an ARRL volunteer began in 1974 when he became Minnesota Section Communications Manager, and at the time of his death, he was best known as Director Emeritus and Honorary Vice President. He'd held numerous positions in the years in between, including Dakota Division Director from 1994 to 1999. According to the ARRL website, he served on every standing committee the board had and served as chairman of the Administration Finance Committee twice. His accomplishments on the air landed him in the CQ Contest Hall of Fame. Todd had worked as Director of Information Technology at General Mills until his retirement in 1991. He and his wife Jackie had 5 children. ARRL CEO David Sumner, K1ZZ, who was well acquainted with Todd, said on the league website, quote, "I feel like I have lost my brother," end quote. Plans are being made for a memorial service in Minnesota. In the world of DX, Allen G3XAQ is operating as 5X1XA on the HF bands using CW until the 28th of November from Kampala in Uganda. Send QSL cards via G3SWH. Be listening for Tom DJ6TF and Reiner DL7KL as 5Z4/DJ6TF and 5Z4/DL7KL, respectively, from Diani Beach until December 1st. You can hear them on 80 through 10 meters using CW and SSB. Send QSLs to their home call signs. John W5JON is using the call sign V473A from Calypso Bay, St. Kitts, until the 15th of December. He can be found on single sideband on 160 to 10 meters, including 60 meters. Send QSLs direct to his home call sign. With the holiday season quickly upon us, our closing story is about an old friend in a red suit. A very old friend. You see, this particular Santa Claus doesn't have a sack. Instead, he has a net, and it's on 80 meters. If you believe in him, you'll want to listen very closely to this report from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
We're now in our 11th year on 3916. This started, and I had a young, probably a 7 or 8 year old at home, and a number of us were on 3916 on Christmas Eve. Somebody got the idea, hey, what if we connect some of the kids in our households to Santa? That was the humble beginnings of SantaNet.
And with that, the holiday spirit once again is crackling on the HF bands with the start of the 80-meter SantaNet every night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Pete Thompson, KE5GGY, thinks he could have up to 400 Santa contacts this year, starting on November 25th, right through and including Christmas Eve, December 24th.
I would just encourage anybody to think about kids in your neighborhood, think about your own kids and grandkids, people that you can introduce to ham radio. That's the other thing that happens here. Not only do we make a kid's Christmas, but we're getting kids connected with ham radio, and that's very powerful. It's the magic of radio that we all remember as kids when we could hear a faraway broadcast. Imagine what's going through a young boy or girl's mind when they hear the static, they hear the radio, they're in a strange room with all this equipment, and suddenly they're talking to Santa Claus. We're looking for some female relays to help us relay in the voice of Mrs. Claus, and we've had a little bit of luck with that in the past, but I'd like to see more of that this year.
Pete sent along this contact he made last year.
Robert, are you on the frequency?
Yes, I am. I've got my granddaughter Morgan sitting in my lap here. I just showed her where the microphone was. Yeah, she's sitting here. And are you excited, Morgan? There she is.
Well, Morgan, this is Pete, and we're going to place a call to Santa Claus and see if we can get him on the radio just for you. So stand by. Calling Santa Claus. This is KE5GGY in Dallas, Texas, trying to call Santa Claus at the North Pole. We have Morgan ready to talk to Santa Claus. Come in, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, everybody! And hello, is Morgan on the radio? Hello, Morgan. This is Santa Claus.
Meow.
Hello, Morgan. Yeah, what are you doing? You're getting so big and so beautiful. And let me ask you a question, Morgan. Have you been a good girl this year?
What?
That's what it says on my good girl list. You're at the top of the list.
So if you know someone who wants to talk to Santa, just dial up 3916 weeknights at 7:30 p.m. Central starting November 25th. For Amateur Radio Newsline, ho, ho. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
I wonder what new radio I can ask Santa for. What time was that net again? With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, the BBC, CQ Magazine, CNN, Daily DX, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Ken Duffy, ZL4KD, Les Nouvelles DX, Livingston County Amateur Radio, the New Zealand Herald, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, the Santanet of the 3916 Tailgaters and Freewheelers, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Radio Society of Great Britain, Riri Azrak OD5RI, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.